This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Hey, business storytellers, episode 647 on deck here. Today, we want to talk about the narrative economy and how do you actually, build those narratives for your customers and consumers and anybody you want to connect with. This is a great book right here to read. Christian Alama wrote that. Really appreciate the advanced copy or review copy or whatever you want to call it. I enjoyed it very much. And you know what's interesting to me is everybody talks about storytelling, but he's talking about a narrative. So what is the difference? Why should we care? And how do we make use of it, as a company? And certainly, at the end of the day, it still means we need to create content that matters. Before we get Christian on the show here, a friendly reminder, we are back live on Amazon. So you can, everything you see around me, the sound panels, the fake plant, not the Iowa Hawkeyes football helmet that's game worn, so mostly practice worn, but we don't have to get into that story. You can buy on Amazon in the carousel, Christoph Trapp on Amazon if you're watching on the different channels. All right, enough about selling stuff that you can see around me. Let's talk about the narrative economy. What is it? Why do we need it? And how can we make use of it? Christian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's excited to be here.
Really excited to see you and meet you. As I mentioned, fantastic book. I got a lot out of it. But let's kind of start at the beginning. It's interesting because the title started with a story, and a very different look at storytelling. You know, I don't think I've seen many other storytelling books that take the same angle. So tell me about the narrative economy. What is it, and why does it matter?
Sure. Yeah, and it is a slightly different look, I think, than what a lot of people who talk about story do. My background is in psychology, and the sort of field of psychology that I know most is known as narrative psychology, which is the psychology of storytelling. And I also have grown up professionally as a marketer. So I started looking at these two things sort of together, trying to understand where marketing consumer behavior intersects with this sort of framework of narrative psychology. And what I realized was when we start to study consumers through that narrative lens, what we realize is consumers purchase products and brands and sort of build loyalty with them, build relationships with them, essentially as ways to express their identity, as ways to tell stories about who they are. And sometimes those are stories that get told out to the world and they share them with neighbors and friends and family on social media. But it's also stories that they just tell themselves, right? Whether I think I'm a good parent because I purchased this type of product, or I'm a generous person because I give to this kind of an organization. And so what I realized was that not just sort of the rational benefits, but consumers are looking to brands for the stories that they can tell because of those brands. And that sort of is at the heart of the narrative economy. And that's what defines the narrative economy. And if we don't play into that, if we don't build our companies and build stories around our companies that our consumers can leverage, can own, then we're sort of missing a major part of why people buy.
You know, partially the way I look at it too is like this podcast, right? When a guest pitches themselves to come on, or I see people say certain things, I weigh it against what do people that listen to the show actually care about, number one. And number two, have we already talked about it? And then number three, which until I read your book, I didn't actually think about it this way. Does it fit the narrative of what we're talking about here, right? Yeah. So if somebody comes on and they talk about designing artwork for an office.
Like, right.
How does that fit? Maybe it does, but not at first glance to me, right?
Yeah.
I'm always trying to weigh it against the narrative. But when you do that, do you have to be more strategic as opposed to just like doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the things that I recommend in the book are really sort of strategy tools. There is a great deal of thought and work that goes into creating content and what makes things go viral and all that sort of stuff. But I believe the first thing you should do before you do any of that is figure out your narrative strategy, right? As you said, what story is this podcast telling? And how do the guests we invite, the topics we talk about, fit into that? And I always say, don't just think about your own podcast's narrative, but also your customer's narrative, your audience narrative, your listener's narratives, right? Why are they here? What is the story that they're telling about themselves as they learn from these shows, from these episodes, right? And I imagine, you know, people that are listening to a show like this, they are sort of dedicated and interested in becoming a better storyteller through their business or at work or in their roles. And so they want to make sure that they're sort of building up those narrative skills. They're building up those storytelling skills. And so if you're identifying and filtering the choices that you make as a business and how well that fits into your own narrative as well as your customer's narrative, that's going to help you really sort of hone in on what's going to push that story forward, what's going to really sort of make a difference. Because it's when you don't, right? There's an old example I will sometimes share. There's a Pepsi campaign many, many years ago that featured Kendall Jenner. And it was in the midst of a lot of sort of social unrest here in the United States. And the campaign tried to sort of leverage that, tried to sort of capture that story and build it into its own narrative. And you see Kendall Jenner walking through a crowd of, you know, very friendly kind of protesters and things like that. And she eventually in the spot gives a Pepsi to one of the riot officers, one of the police officers on the other side of the protest line. And all of a sudden, everybody's happy and everybody's dancing and social unrest is solved, right? That story didn't fit for a number of different reasons. It just didn't really fit Pepsi's narrative. It also didn't sort of address the audience. It didn't address their story, right? They've been working for months at protests, at policy change, at campaigning, at getting people out to vote. And to have Pepsi come in and say, all you had to do was give them a Pepsi, right? It really sort of offended their own narrative, right? It didn't fit sort of the way they thought about it. And that campaign was panned on the internet, panned by critics, panned by consumers. And they eventually walked it back. You probably won't find it really anywhere other than YouTube channels. And that's sort of that fit. If they had used that narrative structure to really identify what is our story and what can help us tell that story, they would have likely not chosen a direction like that. Maybe something else, or maybe something more celebratory about the work of protesters in that space, rather than sort of trying to usurp the story and become hero of the story themselves.
Wish it was that easy, right? Just to give an officer a Diet Pepsi.
I wish, seriously.
You know, what's interesting too is, I wonder if, is there like a strategic narrative framework that people can use, even like steps or something like that, that you can talk about?
Absolutely. In the book, I recommend perhaps very on the nose, the STORY framework. And the STORY framework is an acronym for sort of five really kind of areas or questions that you should focus on when building your organization's narrative. And the S stands for struggle, right? What is the problem, the tension, the need that you're seeing in the world that your business is designed to address? And it's very important that you identify this in an almost agnostic way, right? It's not that, you know, we sort of the struggle that we identify is exactly what we do. It's that parents, you know, are looking for ways to teach their kids to sleep through the night, or people are looking for ways to get healthier. People are struggling with sticking to a routine, right? There's a struggle or a need that you want to address. And you want to make sure you define that, because that's sort of what drives stories forward. Stories thrive on tension, right? No one goes to the movies to just watch a guy save money in his bank account. It's a boring movie, right? You go to the movie to see people overcome challenge and struggle and tension. So you want to make sure that story has that really clearly and very clearly articulated. The next part of the story framework is the technology or the tool. And this is a sort of a broad sense of tool or technology, right? This might be actual technology that you've developed, right? An algorithm, a device, that sort of thing. But it's also just your approach, your resources, right? So if you're a nonprofit out there and you're trying to address, you know, children sort of going hungry through the school day, things like that, or on the weekends, your tool or technology may be sort of meals and backpacks that they can take home. Your tool or technology may be a sort of a buffet available on school grounds on the weekends, right? It's an approach that you use to help address that that struggle that you identified. The next step then is the O in story, and that's your objective. And the objective is essentially what you have designed a business to do, Okay, so if you are in the office products category and you recognize that people don't have things to sort of write ideas quickly, jot ideas down, that's the tension or struggle. They're at their desk and there's just not sort of a kind of small piece of paper for them to use. And your tool or technology is to adhere, you know, very sort of removable sticky material to the back of small pieces of paper. Your objective is to build Post-it pads for a corporate audience, right? That's what you're in the business of doing, right? You are 3M or you're another company that's producing other products and materials like that. That's your objective. And it's a really straightforward one, right? And typically most of us know that. And so we want to make sure that we define that, because that becomes part of the story as well. Now, R and Y are where it starts to get pretty fun. Now, the R is the reward. The reward is the benefit that they get. And here, I see a lot of people try to get sort of pretty ambitious or emotional about the reward, right? Rather than just people having a space to sort of jot their ideas and to capture their ideas in the moment, they talk about how, you know, their chips bring families together, or their sort of channel on television is what unites a family, right? Not quite. That's not the reward. Maybe we're going to get to that in a moment. But the reward is that people have family-friendly entertainment in the evening, or people have sort of easy-to-use Post-it notes that they can grab and jot their ideas down. So that way they never lose track of an idea or lose track of a task that needs to be done. It's something that's very tangible. In many cases, it's very data-driven, right? If you are a health organization, it might be the benefits that people get from using your routine, from working out on your equipment, from you know, taking that supplement, things like that. You want to really sort of clearly capture that reward. And the why is where it starts to get emotional. That's the yearning. And the yearning, I will sometimes call the glorious future, but GF didn't fit into story as an acronym. So we go with yearning, and that is what you want from the world. That sort of is the ambitious ideal future. If everything is working right, right? If everything goes beautifully, this is sort of that emotional reward that your customers might get from everything. So if you're that nonprofit trying to address, you know, children's hunger on the weekends, it's that no child goes without a meal ever in the United States. If you're a health supplement program, it's that people feel like they're living their best lives, or that they no longer have a fear of memory loss, or they, you know, are able to sort of turn their ideas, turn their tasks, and feel like they're the most productive people in the workplace because they were able to track and capture all of that. This is where you can get ambitious. And when you put all of that together, essentially, you basically have a short paragraph that defines your narrative. And from there, that becomes your strategic tool. You post that in your office, I hope, or save it to your desktop if you need be. And so that every really sort of major business decision, every story that you want to tell, all the content that you want to create, you want to go back and check, does this help us tell this story? And if it doesn't, you might want to consider pulling back on it. And if it does, then that tells you that's probably a good thing to pursue, a good thing to sort of invest further in.
Let's kind of circle back on the write down what your narrative actually is for a second. And yes, this is my corporate America PTSD, which is a thing. It is not the same as having PTSD on the front line of a war. Totally get it. So we're not talking about that, but certainly that is a thing. And I have seen, when you said that, I immediately was like, ugh, mission statements that don't say anything.
Absolutely. What,
you know what I mean? What tips do you have when people put that together to actually write it in a way that teams can use it and customers, if they ever see it, can actually understand it?
Yeah, yeah. That's a really great question. And I have seen more sort of empty mission statements and vision statements than I care to recount. But the things that I find that will work really well for this is, one, obviously, if you've gone through that exercise and you've written that down, the next step is really to sort of start to socialize that with your team. And it is inherently a more powerful structure than just a mission statement, right? Mission statements often feel either one-sided or self-serving, right? We're here to be the greatest, you know, cog maker in the world. And that's what we're here for. It doesn't really care about the employees. It doesn't care about the customers. It's really just all about the self, right? Stories, though, are dynamic. Stories are about relationships and about challenges and about overcoming those challenges, right? Human beings are inherently story-driven individuals. We are narrative machines. We thrive on story. We make sense of the world by story. So when we even convert mission statements and vision statements into narrative structure, when we use a story framework like this, we're basically giving the mind what it wants. We're giving it a story. And by sharing that story with others, right, there's a sort of act that we call parallel processing, where whenever someone hears a story that is engaging and well-structured and well-formatted, they run a second story in their mind where they look to see how they fit into it, right? If I say Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water, you hear that story. And at the same time, you imagine yourself as either Jack or Jill, and you start thinking about what it's like to be in this. Why am I running up this hill? Why are we getting water? How does it feel when I fall down, for example? When we do that with these sorts of structures, you start to see people say, well, here's how I fit in, right? I'm a frontline employee. That's the story. Here's how I make a difference in that story. Here's how I push that story forward. And what happens is they then start to create their own stories around that. So it's not just about sort of getting the organization to memorize this story structure that I've created, right? Which is a very sort of top-down corporate approach. It's about saying, hey, here's the narrative that we have. And this is what we talk about in the book, of the difference between narrative and story. So here's our narrative. Here's our strategic narrative as an organization. What stories can you tell that come back to that? So if you're in the front line and you're, you know, part of a customer service organization, you can talk about how we're here to help people be their best selves. And so I'm going to do whatever I can in my story, in my role, to sort of fulfill that. If you're in accounting and you don't typically face customers, you look at, well, where what is my story, right? How do I make sure the operations of this business serve our customers best by keeping costs low or by managing pricing so that it is the pricing that is most relevant to our customer set, to who they are? And so you start to get these sort of stories sort of building around the organization that all tie back up to your strategic narrative. And that's how you get them to really live it. Because once they start living the story, then it's a part of them. It's a part of what they've done. It's something that they've helped to create. But it all comes back to that singular narrative that you've created and shared throughout the organization.
I think one thing that's really hard about doing this actually is, so like you could do it really well in marketing, right? And let's say marketing is rocking the narrative and
sure.
And then the product team, just to pick on the product team is not rocking it at all, right? It doesn't feel like anything like it.
Sure.
And then customer service might be somewhere in the middle. So how do you make sure to align people to that narrative? And is that part of the framework, or how do you reinforce it? Because the other thing, yeah, I see sometimes is, you know, if you have any kind of strategy written down or anything, right, you do the thing and then you put it somewhere and then nobody ever looks at it again. And no. At some point they go, hey, what was that again? What are we supposed to do? And you just go back to whatever your default is, right? So how do you make sure people kind of live it and breathe it and really stay top of mind?
Yeah, you know, that's what's so important about the way this sort of thing gets rolled out, because when you roll it out in sort of that story and that narrative, right? And you can either, you know, if you're a big company and you can invest in creating a major campaign around this and sort of, you know, rolling this out with high production value, or you know what, you're a small team of 30 and you're trying to get everyone in your organization from warehousing to customer service to product to really sort of all align with this, you might not have that budget. So you're going to look at, well, how do I start telling these stories? And that's, again, where you go into storytelling mode overall, right? So you look at this narrative and you say, okay, do I have customer experiences that demonstrate this narrative at its best that I can tell them about? Do I have experiences from their department that they can tell me about that really sort of demonstrate this idea? One of the things that we'll sometimes recommend to clients is to identify what we call narrative champions within the organization. People from different departments that you might have in a small subset before it rolls out to the whole organization, to be part of building that narrative, to be part of vetting that narrative, and to be really sort of gain some real ownership and pride around that narrative, so that when they go back to their department, they can then roll that out in a smaller sort of way rather than that kind of top-down approach. And so they'll go and they'll say, okay, let's all engage with this and let's connect with this so that you all get the story. And when they develop those stories, right, this isn't just a tale and an anecdote that people should forget or, you know, in the narrative document, right, may not last very long on the poster or may get filed away in the server somewhere for to never be looked at in a very long time. But when you capture those stories and you get those stories really clearly articulated, it's not just about the communication of the story. It's about the way the mind changes because of the story, right? We start to shift mental models when the story of this organization starts to shift as well. So it almost becomes the new default because they start to integrate it in the way they tell stories about that company. They start to integrate it in the way they feel about that company, right? This is something that often is really about employee engagement, employee pride in our work, because when we craft these stories, we start to make more sense about how we fit in as a business to the world and to our customers' lives and how we fit in as employees into this business. And so when that is really clear, it really starts to sort of take care of itself. You really start to sort of kind of cement that narrative and cement that way of thinking in the business where, you know, I remember many years ago, we worked with an organization and kind of helped them do something similar. And it was a healthcare organization, right? And you had your sort of frontline healthcare staff that really cared about patients and obviously were there to sort of give them the best life possible. But then we would talk to the, you know, sort of accounting teams and billing teams and those sorts of things who really don't face patients on a regular basis. And they would say, before we did this work, you know, someone would call in and somehow through the phone tree got to my desk as an accountant. And I would hear and realize they're a patient and hang up because I didn't know what to do with them. I didn't know what I could do for them, right? After they heard these stories, after they started to reshape how they fit into the organization, how the whole organization fits into the patient's lives, we started to hear stories back from them that, well, when they come to me now, I ask if I can help them. I ask who they're really looking for, and I try to redirect them on the tree or give them the phone number to get there directly. Their whole relationship with the business and with the customers changed because they were telling different stories.
How, you know, this is going to be the rapid fire round here. We just have about 90 seconds left.
Sure.
How important is it? Maybe a 30-second answer on that one. How important is it to actually believe in the company, believe in the mission? I mean, when I was in nonprofits, I'm not sure I could have done it if I didn't believe in
sure.
their mission. So maybe give us a 30-second answer on that. And then after that, remind everyone how they connect with you, who should reach out to you. And of course, the book link has been all the show notes. You can see it on the screen if you're watching and really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, I think ideally you believe in the full mission of the organization, but realistically, that's not possible. In some cases, it's not necessary, right? If you're a company that builds cogs, what do I believe in when it comes to cogs? But it's really sort of important that you believe in your role in the organization, that you are a meaningful part, a contributing member of that organization. And if that story really sort of helps you connect those dots and make sense of what you do, that is really critical. And that leads to just personal satisfaction in the role. Thanks for having me. If you want to reach me, the best place is typically on LinkedIn or my company's website at threadline.co. And of course, you know, comment on Amazon. I check the comments. You know, I make sure it's not just my mom saying she likes the book. So if you do enjoy the book, if you do have questions, feel free to add them there or shoot me an email or shoot me a message through LinkedIn and I'll respond. I'll get back to you if I can.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review The Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then.